To the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, and we're going to start with verse number 28, Matthew 11, 28. I'm sure this will be familiar to you, but this is the word of Jesus. Come unto me, all labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'd like to read that last verse. For my yoke is easy. Now, he's not talking about eggs over easy. My yoke is easy. And my burdens are light. There will be burdens. A burden is something you carry. You will have to carry some things in your walk with God. There's some things you're carrying you shouldn't be. You know it and I know it, so I don't know why we do it. But the Bible talks about casting all your care. That's what people care. That word care in the Bible means your worries, your anxieties, your problems. And so, since his yoke is easy, I prefer that. Amen. I don't like eggs over easy, but I like his yoke that is easy. You can be seated. I want to speak this morning. Very passionate about, and that is his yoke is easy. Now, you know that I'm a newcomer to New Mexico and certainly a newcomer to this church. I believe I'm going on 3 years here, 2.5, 3 years, something like that. So since I've lived in New Mexico, I have heard some strange talk that is strange to me. I have never heard so much talk about the devil beating people down. In my lifetime, I'm 69 years old. I've lived for God for 55 years. I have never heard people talk about the devil beating them down. That is a mindset that you got to get rid of. And God help me, I have mercy on me, I never get that. Now, I've lived for the Lord in thick and thin and up and down, but I have never, I've never seen the devil in person, but I've met up with the devil. I've met up with people that were demon-possessed. I've had them flee from me. Not because I'm anything. I don't have nothing. I'm just a human being. On the intelligence scale, probably pretty low. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said that we would tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, those are characterizations of Satan. He's called that old serpent the devil. He's called the dragon. He's the deceiver. All of those are negative things. And because we have the Holy Ghost, how could the devil beat on us? That's not to say we won't have trials and tests in life. Now, you might equate financial problems as the devil beating on it. It's probably because you don't know how to manage your money. The devil don't have nothing to do with it. You see what I mean? The devil, I don't have no sympathy for the devil, but poor bugger gets blamed for everything. Now, there is a real devil, and when you meet up with him, you'll meet up with him. It won't be that your car payment was late. or your utilities was about to get cut off. You don't have nothing to do with that unless you've been wasting the money God gave you on junk that you don't need. Hello? Okay, now, so I've never heard so much talk about people being beat down by the devil. I don't relate to that. I don't know anything about that. Because when I came to the Lord, He transformed my life. The older I get and I look back on my life, it's so amazing. I can hardly believe it. The way the Lord reached down to almost a 15-year-old boy and transformed everything about me. My total destiny was changed. Certainly, I don't know how to describe it. It's just the mercies of God. And so I've heard talk about how hard it is to live for God. I don't understand that. Because Jesus said His yoke is easy. And His burdens are light. And if it gets too heavy for me, I can cast all my cares on Him because He cares about me. Do you understand that? We've got these resources. And so somehow or another, we folks have adopted a mindset. They've approached living for God as if it's hard. I haven't found it hard. Am I an idiot or something? I mean, did I fall off the turnip truck yesterday and hit on my head? That's not to say I haven't had problems. I've had some difficulties. I found out that my own brothers hated me. I didn't find that out till I was 60-something years old. Almost 60. Just things happen in life. But when it comes to living for God, I found it the easiest thing I've ever done. Now, I don't know if that's about you. If it isn't, God wants you to find that. Because what is the secret to this? Oh, boy, I wrote a note down here. I can't even read it. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now, that's the faith chapter, right? Pastor and I were talking a little bit about Hebrews the other day. And there's some things, some mysteries in there. I'll tell you that they're a mystery to me. When I get to heaven, if I think about it, I'll ask the Lord about it personally. But there's some people recorded in the book of Hebrews, as far as I'm concerned, were total failures. And I wouldn't want them a member of my church if I was a pastor. What do you mean? Well, let's get off of that. Let me get on to where I'm going. I don't want to talk about that right now. Hebrews 11:13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." Now, what is it talking about? Well, the not having received the promises was eternal life. They hadn't received it. They died, but they got it. Amen. After they died. Having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. They confessed they were pilgrims. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's the first part to living for God easy. You got to confess with your mouth that you are a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. Why do I say that? Because if you're trying to fit in with this world and to blend in with this world, it's going to be hard to live for God. The Lord, when He saved us out of sin. The Bible said we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we were translated out of the kingdom of the devil. Okay. He has brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. And light has no fellowship with darkness. But if you're trying to fellowship with the darkness of this world, it's going to be hard to live for God because light has no fellowship with darkness. And if you're trying to mix the two, you are going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. You don't want to know if you're up or down or in or out. Okay. Now, let's see what else they did. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The old-time Pentecostals had a song. You can call it old school, call it anything you want to, but it's the truth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. I can't remember the rest of it right now. But the part that you got to confess is I am a stranger. I don't want to fit in. I don't want to blend in. I don't want to go along with. I don't want to live like. I don't want to think like. I don't want to talk like. Because my citizenship is in heaven. I live on this earth, but my home is not here. My home is over there. I am living for there. And so it's easy to live for God when I realize I'm a stranger here. The Bible even says that you are a peculiar people. Now, some of you are pretty peculiar. I'm weird, probably. Amen. Do you know what the word peculiar is? If you could draw a picture of what peculiar means as used in the Bible. The New Testament was written in Greek, so it's a Greek word that has a word picture. When it says you're a peculiar people, we think weird, eccentric, odd. I used to tell my, I don't want to be no oddball. I'd tell my mom when I was a kid, I don't want to be no oddball. Well, that's not what it's talking about in the Bible. So what does the word peculiar mean? If you had a blank piece of paper and you put a dot on it. I don't know if you can see that. A dot. And then you draw a circle around. A peculiar people. Set aside and surrounded by God. You're a peculiar people. You belong totally to Him. So if I'm going to be a peculiar person and belong totally to God, I can't fit in anywhere else. I can't blend in Him, but I'm precious to Him. He surrounds me. He envelops me. Everywhere I go, I'm surrounded by His presence. I belong to Him. I can talk to Him. He can talk to me. If I got a problem, it's His problem. If I got a need, it's His need, because by God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. That's easy, isn't it? That's easy. And so they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now let's look at verse 14. For they that say such things, say what? I'm a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. I don't mind telling you, I'm seeking to go to heaven. Now, it sounds kind of like a joke when I walk into work. Usually, one of my co-workers, Manuel, is the assistant manager there. He almost always says to me every morning, "What's up?" He's not Bugs Bunny, but, you know, Bugs Bunny says, "What's up, Doc?" No. But anyway, he said, "What's up?" And he looks at me and I say, heaven. Right, Brother Dave? Every time he says, what's up? I say, heaven. And in my heart, I said, oh, I want to go. You understand what I mean? Because my heart's in the highlands. My heart is not here. One writer wrote, he said, "Chase, my heart's in the highlands. My heart is not here. My heart's in the highlands wherever I go, chasing the roebuck and the deer." Well, that's not it. I like to hunt deer, but my heart is in heaven. That is my home. I'm yearning for that. I'm longing for that. Somebody said, well, what if the Lord came to you? I said, be fine with me. You understand what I mean? My heart's right here. I love this people. I love you. I love this city. It's not much of a city, but I love it. I like it. I'm happy here. But I want you to say, notice it says they declare plainly. They make no bones about it. There's no hesitation. They declare plainly that what? They seek a country. Okay? And listen, this is it. And truly, if they have been mindful of the country from which they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. What does mindful mean? It means your mind full of something. What's your mind full of? What do you got on your mind? I've got Jesus. Got Him on my mind. Oh, I've got Jesus. Got Him on my mind. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? Now, this is primarily talking about Abraham, the father of the faithful. When God called Abraham, notice, you'll find it all through the Bible. You can't escape this. Everywhere the people of God are, you'll find this term, out of, away from. God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. And what did God say to Abraham? Go to a country that I'll show you, and I will make out of you a great nation. And what did Abraham do? By faith, he left. Did you ever read in your Bible anywhere where Abraham ever talked about Ur of the Chaldees again? He never said anything about it. All you find about Abraham or Abram is he is following God. And you read, what has our father Abraham found? Starts in Romans, the 4th chapter. What did he find? Well, you read that. And so, it's if they had been mindful of the country that they came out of, they would have had an occasion or an opportunity to go back. You never read where Abraham ever mentioned Ur of the Chaldees again. He never thought of Ur of the Chaldees again. All he thought about is, I'm going to a country whose builder and maker is God. And He has given me a promise that He's going to make out of me a great nation. And through me, all the kingdoms of the earth are going to be blessed. And that was the only thing that Abram had on his mind. Now, he made some mistakes, as all men make mistakes. But the thing that made him a successful man, and the thing that distinguishes him and gives men, we look up to him. He's the father of the faithful. Is he had his mind made up. He had his mind made up. David said in the Psalms, I didn't have time to look this up, but it's there. I promise you there. David said, my heart is fixed. It didn't mean that he had a transmission out and it got fixed. It didn't mean he had a bad valve in his heart. It was just the heart is the seat of your emotions. He had his mind made up. I'm going to live
for God. And David said, my heart is fixed. He said, none of my steps shall be moved. My feet are in an even place. It didn't mean that David had no problems. He had plenty of problems. He had plenty of troubles. There's never been anybody in here that has had an army chase you all over the desert. You've never had anybody that just set out, they were going to kill you. I hope you haven't. But the point of it is, David even said one time to the man that was chasing him, am I a flea that you come out here in the desert to kill me? He actually said that. Am I a flea? All the time David had the promise. All the time that happened, David was anointed king. He wasn't king yet, but he was anointed king. He had people chase him and hound him and badger him. Twice his father-in-law tried to kill him with a javelin. It stuck in the wall, and he missed David. I've been shot at, but I've never had nobody throw no javelin at me. But did you ever hear David saying, bless God, the devil's been beating on me all day long. Bless his holy name. David said, my enemies made a trap for me. But David said, the snare is broken and we're escaped. You understand what I mean? He didn't consider it hard to live for God. He didn't even have the Holy Ghost or a Bible. He had a prophet, Nathan. Nathan treated him really gently and said, you're it. You know? So, too many people, the good thing about living for God is we can change. Somebody said, I may not be what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed. And that change comes about by looking into His face. Now, some people have a mindset like this. I want to change your mind, okay? I'm not beating around the bush, but I want you to change your mind. You got to quit talking and thinking like you think. There's no way to put a sugar coating on what I'm saying here today. There's just no way. Now, look at this. Exodus 16 and 3 says this, if I can find it. Exodus 16, 3 says, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. Now remember, they were sighing and crying. When God talked to Moses, God said, I've heard the sighing and the crying of my people in Egypt. They were wanting to be delivered from Egypt. But when Moses got there, they weren't too willing. And now the first rattle out of the box after they're delivered, they're saying, we remember when we used to be down in Egypt and we sat by the flesh pots and we ate as much bread as we want. Yeah, but their backs were beat bloody with whips too. Yeah, they were slaves too. Yeah, they made bricks for Pharaoh. Yeah. Yeah, they had to throw their babies in the Nile River. Yeah, they really had it good down there in Egypt, didn't they? Why, it was a land of milk and honey. They just loved it down there. No, they didn't. But yet the Lord delivered them with a high and a mighty hand out of Egypt. And they run into a little tough spot. And they said, we remember. Oh, when it was nice in Egypt. It was nice. We had plenty of food to eat. Are you kidding me? Another place they said, we remember the leeks, the garlics, and the onions. What a treasure.
All that gives you is bad breath and gas. They were physically out of Egypt, but their mind was still in Egypt. They were mindful of Egypt. When a little tough spot came along, they automatically, their mind reverted back to back then. That wasn't Abraham. That was these people that just felt like they were being beat down by the devil every day. Well, oh my goodness. Do you see what I'm talking about? You say, oh, they had it so hard in the wilderness. Oh, really? Did they? The Bible said God spread a table for them. And see, the wilderness is typical of our life from the day we get the Holy Ghost until the Lord takes us home. The Canaan's land was to Israel what heaven is to the church. They had to go through the wilderness. They had some tests. Why? But God, every test, God was demonstrating His love and care for them. The Bible said He spread a table for them in the wilderness. They didn't have to get up and go to work. They didn't have to do anything but follow the leading of the Spirit. They were led by the cloud in the daytime, and they were taken care of at the nighttime by the pillar of fire. They didn't have to plant any crops. They went out every morning and gathered the meal for the day. God rained down manna from heaven. It had the taste like a coriander seed, and it had the taste of a wafer dipped in honey. They didn't have to earn it. They just had to go get it. And for 40 years, they got manna six days a week. But on the sixth day, they got enough for the seventh day. The Bible said their clothes didn't wear out. Boy, that makes women mad then. There was no Dillard's in the wilderness. There was no Sears or J.C. Penney's. There wasn't any Supermax or whatever that place is. I'm telling you, the Bible said their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. Boy, I like that. I don't know how these people got 14 pairs of shoes in the closet. You can only wear them one at a time. I don't understand women got purses for every dress. I got one wallet and I got one pocket. I put it in. I don't need 14 of them. But their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. And get a load of this. Their feet did not swell. It was hot in the wilderness. And if you've ever walked in the wilderness, you know your feet get swelled. They stink too. They sweat. But God took care of Israel. Yet they had a mindset. The first time they hit a little problem, they were ready to go back to Egypt. Their heart was in Egypt. Their mind was in Egypt. And God was so good to them. He proved Himself over and over and over and over and over. Read the book of Exodus and Numbers. You will see how the Lord had a tender care for them. They were blessed, 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 blessed. When they run out of water, the Lord just had Moses speak to hit the rock and water came out of it. And he got mad at him one day and hit the rock. And water still came out. But there's another story about the water in the Bible. There, two times the Lord just brought water out of the rock for him. Okay? But the third time, they had to do something. And they sang a song while they did it. When they wanted water, Moses said, all right, all you leaders in Israel, get your staff in your hand. And instead of water coming out of the rock, presto, whammy, doodle, bangle, they didn't have to do nothing except drink. They went around with their staff, and they said, spring up, oh well, spring up. They had to do something. You know, sometimes you just need to get your staff in your hand, just kind of walk around saying, spring up, oh well, talking about your soul. Oh, I'm having a hard time. trial. You need to get off in the corner and say, be like brother. Spin around for me, brother, Mr. Spinner. Maybe he's springing the well up. You just spin around. Sometimes you just need to walk around and say, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. I know you're there. I need refreshing and renewing. I need a new touch. I promise you it'll come. What do you mean? Sure, I talk to myself. Every once in a while, I need some expert advice. My wife has that on a placard in the house. Well, the Bible talks to you about talking to yourself. It says speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart to the Lord. If you're having a problem, don't go around talking about how bad your plumber is. Oh, begin to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make a melody in your heart unto the Lord. Your attitude will change. You'll find out it ain't hard to live for God. Your lips won't be drawn down. There'll be a smile on your face. One of my friends used to sing a song in church that said, smile a while and give your face a rest. Takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So sure, somebody says, well, if you come in smiling, they win. What are you up to? I'm up to living for God. Are you with me this morning? So, Numbers, let's look at Numbers. 11th chapter. I'm running out of time. Oh, my God. I got to find Numbers. Here. Numbers 11. 1-6, if you don't mind me reading it. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Uh-oh. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So if I'm complaining, I don't have faith, and they complained to the Lord and it displeased Him. What happened? Displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. Well, you want to make God mad? Just start complaining.
Right. Right. That's right.
Okay, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. It burned them up. Okay, and the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now listen to this. See if you're a member of this group. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? There's not much you can find out about the mixed multitude. A couple of commentaries I checked this morning, they don't know who they are. They don't say anything about them. One of them is Adam Clark, and he said, no comment on this verse. The mixed multitude were people that were not true Israelites. They may have been the offspring of the intermarriage between some Israelites and the Egyptians. They could have been people that just wanted to hitchhike along with Israel. They could have been some of the, you see, what most people don't realize, Abraham had another wife. Her name was Keturah. He married her after Sarah died. And he had 5 or 6 kids by Keturah. And they populated the region around Israel. They were Semites, halfway Semites. That may have been the mixed multitude. Let me tell you, there are always people that want to hang around apostolics, but they're not apostolic. They're not converted. They like to come to church. They like to watch people juke and jive. They like the hip-hop music. They may like the whatever. But when it comes to living for God, they ain't living for God. They'll go along with you as long as everything's fine. As soon as something ain't fine, they're gone. And those mixed multitude fell a-lusting. That means they desired after things other than God. And Israel fell in with them. And so they fell a-lusting. And they went out. That's the ones that wanted the leeks and the garlics and the onions. And so notice the effect that this had upon Moses. Now listen to this. You wonder why Pastor does some things sometimes? Let me tell you. They were asking for meat in the wilderness. And Moses said, when should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. And notice what Moses said to God. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. In one place, don't be offended when I'm telling you, I'm telling what the Bible said. Moses poured out his heart to God. And he said, now God, am I a nursing mother? Now, before you start laughing about that, it is possible for men to lactate under certain conditions. But Moses said, am I a nursing father? I got all these babies hanging on me all the time. He said, it's too heavy for me. And he got to that place. He said, and if thou dealest thus with me, kill me. I pray thee out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. They were giving him such a hard time. They blamed Moses for everything. And so what caused them to do this? They had their mind wrong. Their mind was not on where they're going. Their mind was on where they had been. Their heart was not in Canaan. Their heart was in Egypt. And how do I know? Because when they came to Canaan's land, all they had to do was cross over the river Jordan. And the Lord said, I will drive out all of your enemies. And yet they said, oh, they complained even to God. And when they complained, God said, all right, I've had enough. You're not going in. And so they spent 40 years in the wilderness because their heart was in Egypt. And so, what do we do? What's the deal here? Listen, when they just got out of Egypt, the first thing we ran into was the Red Sea. Well, that wasn't bad. They camped by the Red Sea. We're out at the beach. You know, having a good time. Until they saw Pharaoh coming behind them. And you know what they said? Wasn't there enough graves in Egypt? Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt and let us die there? And what did Moses say? Stand still and see the salvation of God with you. Shut up and just look. He just told them. And so Jesus said, I'll give you rest. That's type of the whole talk about the Holy Ghost. And so some people just have a mindset like that. Some people just serve God for the blessings. I've heard people talk about God wants to bless you. And you know what? I don't serve God for the blessings. Those are fringe benefits. I serve God because I love God. Are you with me? I'll serve you, God, if you'll give me a new Chevrolet Silverado four-wheel drive. No! I serve God if I have to drive a Volkswagen, or God help a Ford, you know? I'm just telling you. Now, that's just joking. I'm joking about that. That's just joke among us. But what I'm saying to you, you see, the devil accused Job to God. When God said, have you considered Job? What did the devil say to him? He is only serving you because you bless him. That was a lie. The book of Job proves it. What do you mean? Job lost everything. Everything. Health, children, wealth, it all. And he's physically sick. And he said, if he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. That's what he said. And he said, though the skin worms eat up my flesh, you know. They bury me, the worms eat me. In my flesh, I'm going to see God. My Redeemer lives. Did Job say, well, if you treat me like that, God, I'm quitting. You know, there's an old country song. You got the money, honey. I got the time. You ever heard that? But it also says, when you run short on money, I run short on time. That's the way a lot of people live for God. As long as God is blessing them with this and blessing them with that, and all they got, everything they want, they're going to live for God. And then they have a little problem. Maybe they created themselves. Well, God, if you're going to treat me like that, I'm just going to... I remember how it was when I was out there in the world. I had such a great time. Yeah, you were hungover all the time. You understand what I mean? And so, here we go. Multitude did like that. And so they had a mindset like that. We don't want to have that. I'm not serving God for His blessings. I love Him. He redeemed me out of sin. He forgave my sin. He changed me. He gave me peace. He keeps me. I'm serving Him because I love Him. And yet at the same time, He does load me down with benefits. Amen. Oh, I don't have time. I'm running out of time here. Now, I found... Do you know what a yoke is? Not an egg yolk. A yoke. A yoke is an implement to draw the horsepower out of the ox. Or the strength out of the ox. You ever heard somebody say, that guy's strong as an ox? Well, it's no good if it's not harnessed. And so it is a part of a harness. A yoke was a wooden implement, a beam across the top, and it had a loop, two loops around. It was a means of attaching two oxes together, because two are better than one. And then that was hooked up to the tongue of the wagon or whatever they were pulling, and it enabled the strength of the ox to benefit the man. To plow his field, to pull his wagon, to do whatever he wanted to do. And so the strength of the ox was utilized because of the yoke. I'm going to tell you something. You're not in this by yourself. If you really live for God, you got to be yoked up to Him. You got to put your neck in the yoke. It is a yoke. It is not a hard yoke. It is an easy yoke because Jesus is pulling on the other side. He is bigger than all of us. And His yoke is easy. I found that it's easy to live for God because His divine power, 2 Peter 1:3, the power that comes from God has given me all things that to life. Not talking about eternal life, anything that happens in this life. He has given me everything I need to fix it. Now, I want to close with this question. Abraham never looked back. The reason they made it, they declare plainly, I'm going somewhere else. But the sentence in the New Testament that I want you to think about is Luke 17:32. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? She was delivered from judgment. But the Lord said, flee to the mountains and don't look back. Lot's wife looked back. Why did she look back? Her heart was still in Sodom. And she was turned to a pillar of salt. And Jesus made her a memorial to what He doesn't want in our life. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. You got the Holy Ghost. Why are you mindful of the world? Why do you talk about movies you've seen? Sinful places you've been, habits you used to have. Why do you even talk about the parties you used to go to? It's still in your mind. I'm thinking about heaven. I didn't leave nothing back there. Everything I got's up there. And I'm just... I felt so impressed by the Lord about this message this morning. Ask the Lord to help you. Lord, I don't want to look back. Jesus even said in the New Testament, he that puts his hands to the plow
back
is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You cannot plow a straight line looking over your shoulder. And you can't walk straight for God looking back in the world. Just think about that. Let's stand. They're going to sing. But if your heart, if you're looking over your shoulder today, you're going to mess up. You may be having a hard time living for God because you're looking over your shoulder. It ain't going to work. Just let your eyes be straight ahead, looking at the author and the finish of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Look to Jesus. Hallelujah.